From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United States has for years struggled to address its immigration problem. Millions of undocumented immigrants have lived, worked, attended school, and become part of the fabric of American society, and yet have lived with a constant fear of discovery of their status and, of course, of deportation. While some gains were made by President Obama, notably the DACA program, the Obama administration detained and deported far too many immigrants, laying the groundwork for the Trump administration to accelerate the cruelty to unimaginable levels. Through it all, the struggle for dignity has been led by undocumented immigrants themselves. And today we'll feature a critical new book about this struggle. My guest is Mariela Nunez-Janes. She is a professor of anthropology at the University of North Texas. For more than a decade, she has worked with undocumented youth and migrant families as a scholar activist, publishing collaborative articles and book chapters on Latino education, youth activism, feminist pedagogies, and supporting their journeys in schools and universities. She's one of the co-editors of the new book, Eclipse of Dreams, The Undocumented Led Struggle for Freedom. Welcome to the program, Mariela.
Thank you, Sonali, for having me.
So what makes this book different from other books written about immigration? Who are some of the people that have contributed to this book?
Yeah, so the co-editors, in terms of our collective experiences, have faced deportation themselves, forced family separations, sexual abuse, and we have all been, despite it all, have been successful in terms of graduating from college and surviving the K-16 pipeline in the U.S. And so our collective experiences are rooted, of course, in our own individual experiences in terms of struggling against the forces of capitalism and injustice. And some of us are from Venezuela, some of us are from the United States, some of us are from rural villages in Mexico.
So the book is filled with some stunning black and white photographs of various immigrant struggles, of people putting themselves on the front line. A lot of young people, students demanding legalized status, so-called dreamers. Tell me about the photography in the book.
Yeah, so the photography in part is the result of the artistry and the vision in the eye of Stephen Pavey, who's one of the co-editors of the book. But also you will see throughout the chapters, photographs that were taken by our family members and our friends that kind of sort of reflect more the lived experiences of the co-editors that are part of the book. Steve, like myself, we are both anthropologists, and actually two of the other co-authors, Pedro Santiago and also Fidel Castro Rodriguez, graduated with bachelor's in anthropology. And so we bring together artistry as well as different kinds of intellectual and personal expertise that I think come together through those images that we have in the book. And so having those different tongues, if you will, those different eyes, those different ways of kind of relating this undocumented led experience was important for us. And the photographic eye was an important way of conveying that.
Now, there's great diversity among immigrants in the United States. And if we just even, you know, set aside the legal term for who an immigrant is and focus on undocumented folks, even within undocumented immigrants, there's huge geographic, ethnic, national diversity. There's a huge age diversity as well, and diversity in terms of the number of years one has spent in the country or how one came over. Whose voices do you prioritize in this book, and who are the ones telling the stories?
Yeah, so the voices that we prioritize in this particular book are the voices of the youth themselves, those who were directly involved in activism, and those who were also directly the recipients of the force of the state through criminalization and deportation. And so those are the voices that we decided were missing from the dialogue and that were most urgently needed at this particular time. We also there are voices of women, and there are voices of indigenous peoples and their ancestors that are also part of this conversation and part of the book. And we thought that, again, those were urgently needed.
The undocumented youth who have taken the lead during the Obama administration on demanding, proper protection and programs from Congress, they've risked so much. I mean, when somebody comes out as undocumented, you risk everything, right?
Right. Right. And in the book, we have the voices of those who took the risk of actually infiltrating the detention centers, who actually as well took the risk of going against the grain at the time and rejecting the term dreamer and what that implied. And also the voices of kind of those who suffered in silence and those who were detained and deported.
So when we think about the term dreamer, or this group of undocumented young folks who organized for first the DREAM Act, when that failed, what they got through executive action from President Obama was DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. After that, there was another program for parents called DAPA, which never was allowed to take off. And DACA is now, because of the Trump administration trying to basically end the program, is embroiled in legal struggles. How would you assess the organizing efforts of the dreamers, of undocumented youth, I should say? How do you assess their levels of success in making inroads in the eyes of the American public, but also just being able to access legalization?
Yeah, and so to be quite honest, I think that assessment is not for me to make. That assessment is for the collective youth who have led this movement and for the families who have bear the brunt of criminalization and deportation. In the book, our assessment, our collective assessments has been to decry and to reject the term dreamer. And this has been demonstrated through the actions and the experiences of the collective voices that are in the book. And particularly, we reject the idea of deservingness, and this is part of what the movement originally was in part struggling against.
The idea of deservingness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so sort of the dreamer narrative encapsulated that, right? It made excuses and it made justifications for having rights, and it made justifications for a certain kind of population that sort of met the parameters of the American dream, the squeaky clean Latino or brown immigrant or black immigrant that deserve to become part of that dream, that deserve legalization, because it was the actions, the bad actions of their parents, not their own, right? Not the system, that led to their precarious position when it came to status. That narrative is a narrative that we reject in the book. It is a narrative that scholars criticize, but in their critiques, sort of they were critiquing dreamers themselves and the strategy, and not necessarily criticizing the system and the forces that made that narrative legitimate to begin with. And so part of what we do in the book by sharing these collective stories is to really share sort of the complications of the narratives and the alternative decisions when it comes to some of the editors in the book, when it comes to moving away and pushing against that narrative.
If that is a flawed narrative, first of all, have, as far as you can tell, have undocumented folks, you know, reached a consensus that that is a problematic term? Because I imagine that there is some diversity in views.
Yes, I think that there's still diversities in views. I think also one of the achievements of the movement that was pushing against this narrative, I think, has been to really understand that any type of reform, any type of processes related to authorizing the immigrant community had to involve not only youth, but also their families. And that's when sort of the movement became more complicated, right? Any changes also had to contend with other communities that have also been similarly criminalized and racialized over the history of the United States and their its policies towards folks who are non-white. And so I think that's a great achievement, right? To shift the focus from those who deserve to those that are deemed undeserving. And so I think that's one of the greatest achievements of the movement of infiltrators, led in part with from the National Immigrant Youth Alliance, NIA, who took really great risks. And so this idea of being able to come out fully as illegal with all of the complications and all of the challenges that that brings to who we are both as immigrants, but how we envision ourselves as a nation of immigrants, to speak about that identity and that journey as unafraid and unapologetic, I think is a significant achievement.
If the framework of striving for the American dream is flawed, is there an alternative framework? Is there a framework around seeing immigration through the lens of colonization that you prefer to adopt?
Yeah, I think in part that has been our journey, right? And it's our journey of what we call liberation, of trying to see an alternative. And so in the book, one of the reasons why we selected testimonial and testimonial narratives as storytelling was in part to root ourselves in a tradition of storytelling and narrative that comes from our collective ancestors. Most of us, except Steve in the book, are from Latin America. And so it was important to root ourselves in a narrative that has had a long tradition of witnessing and has also implications both for policy changes, but also for kind of more emotional, spiritual, and humanistic types of liberation. So that's one of the ways in which we do it in the book.
So the role that you and one of your fellow co-editors play as an anthropologist, do you approach this issue as a traditional anthropologist, or have you upended that as well, or turned that over on its head as well? Because traditional anthropologists can often approach studies as an outsider.
Yeah, so we didn't approach this through the lenses of research, although some of us were originally perhaps engaged in that at the very beginnings. But really, we approach this through the other side of anthropology that's often forgotten, which is the side of humanity. So anthropology is referred to as the most humanistic sciences of the social sciences, and we often forget that humanity. And so we approach this from the lens of being fellow humans, from thinking about our own privileges vis-a-vis the struggles that we collectively were a part of or are a part of and endure. And we're all pushing boundaries when it comes to pushing the discipline and pushing against the colonial roots of the disciplines.
Mariela, the situation today is so different from what it was under Obama. I mean, of course, in some ways it's the same, but in many other ways it's supercharged. Aren't the stakes so much higher now for undocumented people to be openly undocumented and demand their rights? It seems as though you are risking so much more than any of us thought undocumented folks would have to risk.
Yeah, I think the heat has been turned up. It was already there on low during the Obama administration and beyond, right? Through the continuous criminalizing and the continuous of making more ties between police and ICE, and giving states and local authorities more rights when it came to immigration enforcement. So yes, definitely, I do think that the stakes are higher. And I think it's what's perhaps maybe different now is that those of us who have certain kinds of privileges, whether it's the privilege of being a U.S. citizen or the privilege of also being documented, then have even greater responsibility. So that if we are asked to bear the front, to speak for, to stand against, or to stand in front of ICE, and in front of hatred, I think it is our duty right now to do so.
What about those who have already been deported? We tend to forget that there have been countless numbers of people, many of whom have never known any other place that they call home than the United States, who were just deported.
Yeah. And so the story of Unnamed Dreamer in the book is that story. The story of a youth who came to the U.S. Very, very young, and to the end when he was deported, was still perplexed that the place that he called home deemed him as an illegal alien. And so we see in the book those two sides of the story, the side of when he was in the U.S. and going through a process of detention and then deportation, and then the side of having to come to terms with being also an alien, right? Being also different and not fitting in Mexico, a place that he did not call home.
So finally, how do you hope this story turns out? It is a long struggle across two presidencies now. We've seen differing heights of cruelty with small glimmers of hope, mostly the hope during the Obama administration, and again, only glimmers. But the American population itself has become more sympathetic, it seems, to undocumented immigrants precisely because so many have told their stories and put themselves out there. Do you foresee a future era where we don't have to demand so much from immigrants that have already given so much, and instead honor their life and offer them some, a dignified existence?
That's a really good question. And I don't want to sound completely negative, but I will. I really don't think that the underlying structures that support that narrative are going to change, right? If it's not immigrants, it will be someone else. It will be another population that has been racialized and that will be criminalized. And so I think one of the things that is important to consider is how immigrant struggles are tied to other struggles of liberation and to other struggles of justice, not only in the United States, but also outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. So this is not just a question of crossing borders. It is a question also of capital. It is a question of the rights of people who have been enslaved. It's a question of women and women's rights. And so I think we have a long struggle ahead, but also I think the lesson in part that we can draw from this book is that these are collective struggles that we are all involved in and that are not just restricted to immigrants. They're encompass our entire sense of humanity.
Mariela, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with the book.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciated the opportunity.
My guest has been Mariela Nunez-Janes, professor of anthropology at University of North Texas. We've been talking about the new book she's co-edited, Eclipse of Dreams, The Undocumented-Led Struggle for Freedom. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.